Thank you all for being here this morning to the morning service, the refreshing service. So let's open with prayer. Father, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this day, the opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Lord, have your way in this place. Enemy of ours, we give you notice. You're not welcome here. In the name of Jesus, you must flee and not return. Let each and every person that comes through that door, that the love of God would abound around them, and that they would desire such love, such light that he is. Lord, help us to be your example and your lights in this world. Let every aspect of this service glory and edify you. In the name of Jesus, I submit this vessel to you. My words be your words, my thoughts your thoughts. In Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So today I want to talk to you about something Pastor said Wednesday night. And if you're not here on Wednesday nights, I encourage you, if you can, to be here, because the word goes forth, teaching goes forth, revelation goes forth. And I always take something back with me, something that blesses me for the days to come. And he said the word lighthouse. And for some reason, God has not allowed that to leave my mind and my heart. So I want to talk to you today about being a lighthouse. Be a lighthouse. And we know that we are the children of God, and the light resides within us. And I want to talk to you about that today. The lighthouses in the past were used to aid navigate the ships. It would warn them of dangers, rocks, land. Even in the foggy times, it had a horn that it would sound to keep them away from the dangerous areas that could wreck the ship, you know, up on the rocks or the land or whatever. But it always guided them safe on their way. They were symbols of hope and security. And I read even as far back as the Egyptians had lighthouses, and they would set a fire, build a tower, set a fire, and the fire would project, and the ships would see the fire and know that either that was a place they couldn't port, they couldn't come in, they had to avoid. And as modern technology come on, we set fire, but we set mirrors behind it or reflectors behind it. So the projection of the fire would reach even further. And to me, that speaks to what we are in Christ Jesus. We are to reflect the fire that is within us, which is Christ Jesus. He is the light. And we are to project it out for all to see. And we do that by our lives, our words, our behavior. And we'll talk about that more. As disciples of Christ, we have that same technique or ability through the light, who is Jesus Christ, through the guiding and leading of the Holy Spirit, and by the Word of God. So John 1, he talks about the light. John was not the light, but he was the forerunner for Jesus. And very simple, the first five verses, it says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." And I'm using the Good News Translation, but it reads, "The Word already exists. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. From the very beginning, the Word was with God. Through him, God made all things. Not one thing in all creation was made without him." And that's profound. When you realize that the creator of everything in this universe resides within you and has that same creating ability, that speaks to how we can be new, we can be whole, we can be complete in Christ Jesus. It says the Word was the source of life, and this life brought light to people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never put it out. I want to read the King James Version of that. We're very familiar with that one. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended not." And if you go on down, it talks about John. And you notice when you read the next few chapter or verses that the light is capitalized. It is speaking to Christ Jesus. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Our mission has not changed. That all men through him might believe he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. It is amazing how John's mission thousands of years ago is the same as what we operate in today. Jesus, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's why when you read his word and you have a relationship with him, it's not gonna, you can't be tricked, because God is the same. He's founded tried and true methods, and he knows the beginning from the end. So, you know, you can't be deceived by the enemy if you are aware of who you are and who God is. Psalms 119 and 105, it talks about your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Your word. That's why it's so important for you to have the word of God in your heart, to study it, to learn it, not just read it, but to comprehend it. And in Matthew 5, let's go to John 8. We're already in John. Skip over to John 8, verse 12. So the light came into the world. In John 8, he's doing a teaching, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Do you wonder why people are always drawn to you? It's because you have this light of life in you. You have something that they're missing in their lives, especially those that don't know Christ Jesus. They have nothing but darkness. And I can tell you, when you have that light in your life, it doesn't take long to speak to someone or see someone or watch someone and to realize that they have darkness in their life. Sometimes it's evident by just the way they dress, by the way they carry themselves, the way they speak, what's important to them, what their priorities are. And then you can see the generations behind them, that this darkness has been passed down from generation to generation, and it affects all the generations. So the light in your life not only lightens you, but it gives you the ability to be a light, and hopefully the generations behind you will accept Jesus. And the blessings of the light of life will follow in each generation until he comes again or death takes us. We are called to be the light of the world. And I like, if you go on down, if you go to Matthew 5, he takes it a little further. I want to read this. This is a Sermon on the Mount. He talks about blessed are. And I call that the Be My Attitudes. We call it the Beatitudes. I call it the Be My Attitudes. But in verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You are the light of the world. Not just on Sunday. Wherever you go, whatever you do, you should be shining a light in the world. It says, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Doesn't that sound like a lighthouse to you? It's set up high. It's guiding. It's directing. It's showing something. Keeping people away from danger. Showing them the good news of God. Showing them what good life is like. And it says, neither do man light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light into the whole house, all that is in the house. So we are not to hide our light that lives within us, Christ Jesus, his word. we are to shine. And I'm telling you, whether you like it or not, you shine. And I taught a sermon many years ago and called, we are bug lights. And the bug lights, the bugs are already drawn to the light. And I had an acronym for what the bugs stood for. But it's the people who are downtrodden, who need a Savior. And they know that there's a difference in you. I don't know what it is. And I preached this before. It's your hope, usually. They can't even see Christ. They can't get past that part that you just have hope. You have joy. You have peace. You have the things that they don't have. They don't realize the source is Jesus Christ, the light. So being a lighthouse is so very important in your walk. And let's go on. It says, let your light so shine before man that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That speaks to pride. We are supposed to do good works, but we are supposed to always give Father in heaven the glory. Keeps you grounded. Keeps you, the enemy, at bay if you watch how you accept people's praise and glory. These are foundational truths to live by. 2 Corinthians 4, if you want to turn to that, verses 1 through 6. I'm going to read that. And I love this chapter because it tells me that we have this great treasure, but it's in these earthen vessels. And it lets me know that that I am worthy only because of who is within me. And that makes me able to do what I need to do. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, and ministry just means that you have a call, you have something to do in your life, and we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our glory be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have these treasures in earthen vessels, that is, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. It's okay that you're just an earthen vessel. Dust. And this vessel will go back to dust. But what is important is that you allow the light that is within you to shine forth. This is your ministry. The good news, the knowledge, and the glory of God through Jesus Christ. We are to teach that. We are to live that. We are to talk that. We are to look that. We ain't called to look like rock stars of the day. Movie stars of the day. No, honey, you're called to be holy as I am holy. You have that ability to do that. You have the ability to make those choices. I'll tell you this story, and I've told it before. I was walking through one of my favorite stores, and they had this cute little top, and it had the shoulders cut out of it, and the Holy Spirit told me that I could not have that. He says, I have called you higher. I remember those words. And I was like, it's just, you know, just a little something here that shows the skin. He said, I called you higher. And so I walked away in dismay because, you know, that was the cutest little style at that time. And I just wanted to look like everybody else. I went back a couple weeks later. It was on sale. Don't think it. Girl didn't stop and say, Lord, it's on sale. Are you sure I can't have that? He said, I have called you higher. I walked away from it. And to this day, he still talks to me about it every time I look at things like that. I looked at a pretty sweater the other day, and it had buttons down the side. I went over, and I pulled it apart, and yeah, it was cut all the way down. I walked away. I have called you higher. That's just a minor thing in life, isn't it? Just a simple minor thing in life. But I agreed and obeyed because he said, I've called you higher. What would you think if I was standing up here teaching in short shorts, tank tops, short shorts, Daisy Dukes, baby, let's just put it out there. I mean, really, I have called you higher. I don't want to influence the young ladies of this day to look like something, look like bait. Let's just put it that way. You're not supposed to look like bait. You're supposed to look like God. It's a simple, minor things, but he'll start with the smallest little things and he'll work you up to the biggest little things. And before you know it, you're not eating all day. You're fasting. You're praying. Because the light is shining within you and he grows stronger with each stronghold that you allow him to break for you. Be the light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 tells you who you are. It says you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. That means you shouldn't be participating in the things that go on that are not of the light, that are not spiritually healthy for you. You can't, actually it goes on, says, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunk in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Because we have obtained salvation by God. You are called to be a light. 1 Peter 2:9. I mean, that one, this one takes it even up a notch if you want to look at it in who you are. But you are a chosen generation. You are chosen. It's not an accident that you're here, that God called you. No, you were chosen. He picked you out. He put purpose and plans in you that he wants to come to happen. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you for purpose. He said you are a royal priesthood. A royal priesthood. Not just a priest, but you are a royal priesthood. That means you have kingly fathers. A kingly father. You come from something great. A ruler. He has dominion and a power and wealth. But you have priesthood. You have service to do. And you're not just serving him. You're serving others. You're letting that light shine. My little lighthouse shine. He says you are a holy nation. We're not alone. You may feel alone, but you're never alone. You may feel lonely, but you're never alone. You are a holy. He made you holy. He gave you Jesus' righteousness. You've got to learn to walk in it. You've got to make the choice to be holy. A peculiar people. You're not going to be like other people, and that's okay. You're God's people. All through the Old Testament, you see God's hand in the Israelite nation. The blessings. People, nations feared them because the hand of God was on them, and they heard the things that God had done for them. A peculiar people. It's okay that you're different. That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And I love this. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which has not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Oh, to be the lighthouse of Jesus. How do we do that? How do we be the lighthouse of Jesus? Go to 2 Corinthians 3. And I want to read this in the New Living Translation, verse 18. But this is all talks about a veil. And when you have a veil on, you can't see it, right? You can't see what's behind the veil, can you? But it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed, talking about the new, talking about grace and mercy, the new testament covenant, can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. You're looking in a mirror. Do you remember I told you in the second generation of lighthouses, they set the fire in the front and they put reflective material behind it so the reflection of the fire would extend further than it did just from that one fire burning. It reached out. You are supposed to be a reflection of what you see. And it's easy to see people, what they're reflecting, isn't it? Because they look like it, they talk like it, they act like it, they dress like it. Are you a lighthouse for God? We are called in Jude 1 and 23, and my time is almost up, to pull them out of the fire. Pull them out of the fire. Do you know how you can walk in the fire? It's because you are fire within you. All these verses that talk about light, it's a fire. It's a fire. It's a fire burning. It's a light that shines. When God is with you, you remember the three Hebrew children? They survived the fiery furnace that actually killed the people that threw them in there. The old king says, did we not throw three in the fire? They said, yeah. He says, why do I see four? And one is likened unto the Son of Man, Son of God. You can survive any fire because, baby, you're fire yourself. Ain't nothing burn you. You can burn it back. The enemy comes tempting you. You say, I'm a little hot. You better stay over there. I got Jesus on my side. Burn, baby, burn. But I call you, I implore you today to realize that you house a light. You house the light. Are you going to be a lighthouse for God? Are you going to be like Matthew said, you're going to put your candle under a bush and hide it? No, you're called to be a light sitting on a hill. You're called to show others Jesus, the good news, what He's brought you from, where He's brought you to, how they can have the same thing. It's not for you to keep. No, you're supposed to be sharing that. Let me show you Jesus. Let me give you a little of this light, enlightenment. Let me give you a little of this fire. Some people will take it and stoke themselves and rekindle themselves, and some will put it out and hide it. But baby, you did your job. You did what you were called to be, the lighthouse of God. When you walk through your everyday life, thank you. Are you being the light? Are you hiding it under the bushel?